Well, it's exciting to be up here again, to be able to share with you God's Word today. And so last week, we began our Christmas theme message on Christmas presents. Talked about how it has always been God's desire to be with us. We see that in the Old Testament. We saw it all the way through Jesus' birth. You know, Emmanuel, God with us. And we see it in all throughout the New Testament. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And he always wanted to have this relationship and be with us. So Christmas presents is about him wanting to be involved in our lives and be with us. We were never called to live this Christian life thing on our own. It's never meant to be a Lone Ranger journey. And so, but this week, we're going to look at Christmas present. That was the present. We looked at the present in Jesus last week. Well, this week we're going to look at the purpose. Last week our story was from Matthew, and it was kind of an overview. And this week we're going to kind of dive in a little more to the details. So we're going to open our Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to pray before we get started. How's that sound? Father, it's just good to be alive. It's good to be able to just talk about this story of you sending your son. Father, we just pray you'll give me the words to say today. God, we pray that we will understand the purpose of it all. We love you and we need you, and we don't stand a chance without you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, beginning in verse 36 of chapter 1, we're going to read verses 36 to 38. 26 to 38, excuse me. In the sixth month, God sent his son Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. The rest of the chapter goes on to tell us of Mary's visit with her relative Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, a miraculous pregnancy as well. And then both Mary and Elizabeth sing songs of praise to God for this miracle that he's doing in their lives. And then we come to chapter 2 of Luke. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census was to be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. In this verse, in verse 12, we see three words that's used to describe this baby being born to communicate God's purpose, the reason why. But just a little side note, when God decides to announce Jesus' arrival, who does he go to? Who are the first people he tells? The shepherds. Stinky workers who often get overlooked, right? But maybe we shouldn't be surprised, because a few years earlier, wasn't it Jesse who, when they were looking for a new king, took all of his sons before Samuel and paraded them in front of Samuel to choose one of them? And yet Samuel didn't choose that one, did he? He says, do you have any other sons? Well, there's one, and he's a what? Shepherd. Bring him for me. And God chose the shepherd boy to be the next king. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Humility began long before the cross. And in this we see that no one is outside of the reach of the love of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He says he's came for all the, this is good news of great joy for all the people. Not just the elite, but for all the people. Well, this Jesus being born is three things it says about him. First of all, it says that he's Savior. The word Savior just means one who saves. Pretty simple, right? You know, a Savior saves. Well, what are we being saved from? According to our passage in Matthew last week, what does it say? That Jesus came to save sinners, right? Okay, so, and where do we get that term sin? Well, originally, sin was an archery term. You would shoot an arrow at the target, and if you hit the bullseye, you hit the mark. But if you missed the bullseye, you missed the mark, it would be called sin. So sin is missing the mark. Okay? Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or all of us have sinned and missed the mark. Does that make sense? So because all of us have sinned and missed the mark, we need a Savior. And by the way, Mary was not sinless. In her exaltation, her song, she says, I praise God, my Savior. She knew she needed a Savior as well. And so, isn't it good news that God sent Jesus, paying the price for sin? He died on the cross and rose again, and everyone and anyone who puts their trust and faith in him can have eternal life. So we need a, so first of all, the purpose was a Savior, because people needed being saved. We needed to be saved. The second thing, word that describes Jesus, is Christ. This is the word Messiah. Again, it's the chosen one, the appointed one, the anointed one, the promised one. This is who the Messiah is. Every Jewish person was looking for that promised Messiah. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, when God promised a deliverer, and all the Old Testament is leading up to where, when's that deliverer going to come, the Bible says that Jesus is that promised Messiah right here. He is the one. He is the deliverer. He is the chosen one. He is the right one at the right time. Remember that kairos word we used last week? Kairos is when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son at just the right time. Well, the third word used to describe our purpose is Lord. Lord is the word Jehovah. It's God, the supreme and eternal one. So what he's saying here is this, this baby being born is God. Okay? Now, I know you've seen a lot of cute little babies, but no one has ever said, this is God, to any of those little babies you've seen born. But that is exactly what is being communicated in Luke right here. This baby being born is God. It's God in the flesh. That's incarnate. That, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week. He came in the flesh. God came and became a man. And that is who Jesus is. So the three-word conclusion and purpose. She will give birth to a son. We're supposed to name him Jesus because he'll save people from their sins. And we'll call him Emmanuel because he's God with us. Again, Jesus is God with us for the purpose of saving us from our sins. Make sense? That's why he was sent. God wanted that relationship restored with us. And so the only way to cover or pay for sins was to send his own son. So how is this fulfilled? Let's read on in Luke. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the first way we fulfill that purpose of God coming to save us for our sins is we come and see. We come and see. The shepherds were like, "Hey, let's check this out." Faith needs to be checked out. Christianity needs to be investigated. It's okay, it'll stand the test, but it needs to be investigated. Oftentimes, it's a danger in churches where we have far more knowledge about God than we have experiences of him. And these shepherds were saying, we want to see this. We want to experience this. Because it's easy to become far more, much more knowledge than we have than obedience, right? You know, we can get filled with information, but it brings no transformation if we don't have application. So these guys were going, "Let's go check this out. Come and see. Come and see, and we must all come and see." Well, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So, let's read on. When the angels had left them, they said, "Let's check this out. Let's go see what this is about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, what did they do? They spread the word concerning about what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. So come and see, and the natural response is to go and tell. They spread the word concerning what had been told them. Not only had they heard it, but they had experienced it. And they wanted everybody to know. Man, you and I do the same things, don't we? We find a deal, you know, whether we're at the grocery store or we find a deal at Sam's or we find it at a car or we get a good deal. And we're telling everybody about it, aren't we? I mean, don't we like to do that? Man, I just got the best deal ever. And we're telling our friends about it because we want them to know. And if it's still going on, you need to get there too, right? Well, we do that about things that are great. And we tell people. And this is just nothing different. These shepherds experienced something that was beyond really explanation. But they were going to go tell anyway. And so they told. You know, twice in the New Testament, we see this idea of come and see, go and tell. The first one is here. Do you know where the next one is? Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'll begin reading in verse 1. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Isn't it interesting that at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life, it's come and see and go and tell. And then again, the next time that's mentioned, it's at the resurrection. Come and see and go and tell. So we have this idea of that it's, and by the way, that is, who's he saying this to? He's not saying this to necessarily pastors. He's not saying this to all the people that lead the church. This is to everybody, right? By the way, the pastor's job, Ephesians 4, right, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So it is all of our jobs to come and see and go and tell. That is our purpose. That is the reason Jesus came, so that we could communicate this amazing thing that happened to the rest of the world, which is a crazy story. I talked about that last week. Isn't it kind of a crazy story? A teenage girl got pregnant through the Holy Spirit, right? And gave birth to a son, put him in a trough in a barn, and this is the Savior of the world. You should believe that. It's kind of a crazy story. But crazy enough, that's the kind of things that God does. And God is calling you and I to do the same, to come and see. You know, one of the things we have to get good at is experiencing God. Henry Blackaby wrote a book years ago called Experiencing God, which was really transformative and great. But it's about that. And the more we understand and experience and see God, the easier it is to just go and tell, right? Because all we're doing is telling something people something that's really awesome and we're excited about. And so, here's where the so what's come in. And this is where we're going to give a little bit of time for some testimonies from last week. Remember I gave you life work? And life work is not homework, because nobody likes homework. Life work is it's going to improve your life. It's going to transform you. It's going to apply what you learn. And so last week I asked you to text a person. And by the way, I text the friend that I text. It was really encouraging for me to know this, even though it was sad. I said, I really don't like Christmas. Bad things happen at Christmas in our family. And it just broke my heart. And so we began to have this conversation. And it helped me to realize I just really need to show him the love of Christ at this season more than anything, because he needs to know that's not how it has to be. You know? We all have family. We didn't choose them. We all have family, and we all have those kind of things that go on. But we don't have to let those things define us, right? And that's the difference. You don't want to let those things define you. And so that was one. We were supposed to text somebody, ask them, what does Christmas mean to you? And I had a number of your reply. Tell me, hey, we had a conversation back and forth with your text. Then I know that Damon had a chance to ask the Domino's guy, you know, hey, what does Christmas mean to you as you give me your pizza, you know? That's awesome. And then even at the vitamin cottage, you guys had a chance to ask a lady. Anybody else have a chance to have a conversation with someone about what is Christmas about? Yes, Dan, you want to just share a little bit?
Yeah, for my nephew, Ben. He's up in Denver, and we're going to be seeing him here at Christmas time. So I sent him that text, and my son's been working on him a little bit as well, so it should be a good opportunity at Christmas time as he's down here with us.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. Great. This is awesome. This is what we like to see. I get so excited when I was getting texts back and emails from people. I'm like, this is awesome. So anyway, somebody else. Yes. That's awesome. It happened just recently, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
Just yesterday. That's awesome. Okay, anybody else? Yes, back here.
While you were speaking, I texted my friend, what does Christmas mean to you? He texted back, nothing much. And so now I'm waiting for God's going to give us an opportunity.
That's awesome. It just begins that conversation. You know, when we think of evangelism, you know, we think of, you know, we have bad images of evangelism. You know, the guy standing on the box screaming at people downtown, repent or die. And by the way, you can make the good news be bad news, okay? And that, you know, I talked to a guy one time that way. I said, hey, how's it going for you? He says, not very good. I go, you think? And I go, how about if you just come on down from here and go talk to all these people and ask them how you can pray for them? And then maybe you get to know their needs and understand where they're at in life and show a little care for them. And maybe then your message might go over a little better. And I wouldn't, you know, I'd start with that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life rather than turn or burn, flip or fry, get the ghost or your toast, any of those kind of things, okay? All right? That's not the way you present the good news. And so we don't want to do it that way. And by the way, none of us has a get out of evangelism free card. We don't carry those because this passage here says we go and tell. So anyway, somebody else, anybody else? Yes.
I reached out to a bunch of racquetball buddies of mine, and I got several responses. One was, the question was, what does Christmas mean to you? And one said life, one said gathering of family and friends, one said kindness, families getting together and have reflections on the whole year to see who was naughty or who was nice.
Awesome. Awesome. But look at all the conversations you had and opportunities you had just to begin conversations and talking with people. What a great thing. Way to go, church family. Yeah, David.
Yeah, let me clarify on the dominoes thing. So I didn't ask him what Christmas meant to him. This kid clearly had trouble. Lots of them. In fact, the order was time, and I said, hey, I'm going to give thanks for these hot wings. Is there anything that I can pray for you for?
Good.
And he ummed and awed and said, success. And I said, well, what does that mean to you? You know, make something in life. I said, okay, cool.
That was the first time.
Right, yeah, I'm getting there. So, so off he went. I said, I pray for that. Well, he's the same guy that brings back my correct order. And he brings it up. He says, hey, about that prayer thing, can you add something? I said, sure. And you're not going to freak out because I thought he was messing with me at first. But he said he saw a dead cat in the road. But I looked at his eyes and he wasn't messing with me. And I said, well, what are you feeling? And he said, well, you know, that cat's got a family that misses him. It's going to miss him and stuff. I said, okay, well, so there's where he is. And he didn't give me a chance to do much more. I invited him to pray with him right there. He said he had to get going. But, you know, those seeds that you talked about.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, when you read that passage in or the sowing of the seeds, the guy's just chucking seeds, you know? I had a garden one time, and when Drew and Jessica were younger, you know how we line up the rows and we show them where to put the seeds? Well, they're just throwing them all over the place, you know. And, you know, I'm the guy thinking, God, this is terrible. But those all, you know, my seeds in a row didn't grow near as good as the ones they were chucking, okay? And it was a good learning experience for me going, you know what, it's okay. We're just out chucking seeds. And it's about where they land and where, you know, and it's awesome. So, good job. Anybody else? Yes. Awesome. Good deal. This is great. Anybody else? I'll share a story. I get a text from my wife on when it was windy, I can't remember what day, that the fence, our backyard neighbor's fence blew over again. I'm thinking, oh, man, you know? So I come home immediately and you know, I got, because we got dogs, and the dogs are going to be in the neighbor's yard, and, you know, so anyway. I noticed there's, like, four post holes dug, and there's poles in them all right. I'm like, this is the weirdest blowing over of a fence I've ever seen. And so I go over and I knock, and this guy comes out, and his name's Chris. I'd never met him before, and it was the cousin of the people who lived there. And he said, no, I'm rebuilding the fence. And I said, well, let me give you a hand. So for the next couple hours, I helped, you know, mix up cement and help pour it in the holes and get the fence. You know, he was putting new posts in, and then he's going to cut the fence to fit in between the posts again and everything. And so we got to talking. And, you know, 2 hours is a lot of time to talk. And so it was awesome. He's from Alaska. And I was getting ready to tell him, it's going to be cold tomorrow, but I thought, forget it. You know, not even going to mention it, you know. So anyway, but he, you know, I got to ask him what he's doing, and I asked him what he was doing here, and we ended up getting to talking, and he asked me, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a student pastor. And he says, well, how did you become a student pastor? And I was like, okay, I've heard of wide open doors. Awesome. So I just shared my whole testimony with him. And he shared that he and his wife are part of a Methodist church in Alaska, but they hadn't been going very much, and that after talking with me, he said, you know what, I think we need to get back there. And I said, well, and that's when I said, well, it's not really, you know, yes, that's important, but it's more important about your relationship with the Lord. And we got to talking about that, and he professed to know Christ. And so it was kind of a neat deal, but here's what I found out. Is he was there because in that house there's a father that lives with his twin son and daughter who are 19, and their mom died at age 7, and they've lived with him since. But he was in a hospital in Denver with dementia. And so the 19-year-olds have been living there by themselves for 2 weeks, and the furnace broke and the fence was... And so he came down from Alaska to fix all those things. And we were just, you know, heartbroken. We said, well, we had no idea. And so we are in the process of seeing how we can help them and do whatever we can. But this is the kind of stuff you get the opportunity to find out as well, is that you don't just meet the spiritual needs as you're sharing Christ, but there's physical needs that go on that need to be dealt with. You know, having two 19-year-olds living there, you know, how... Is he still getting pay? Is he, you know, I don't know, is there funds? All those questions. And so we're working with them and as far as seeing how we can help them. But I was so glad that I could just spend some time with them and get to know them. And then even further than that, be able to maybe help some physical needs too. And so this is the kind of stuff as what does it say? Being a believer and sharing Jesus with people is messy. So get a mop because it's worth it, right? So buy a mop and get into these things because people matter. Lives matter. And it's important for us to be involved in the lives of those very close around us. I really believe that God will, you know, I know he's going to hold me accountable as a pastor to students and all. I'll be held accountable, not as much as they will for their own lives, but I'll be held accountable in some way. But I really believe he holds us accountable for where he plants us too, you know, in our neighborhoods, in this neighborhood as a church, you know, Silver Heights and stuff. You know, I have a dream that, you know, we minister to Silver Heights community in a better way, because this is right our community right here, and then beyond we go further. And so what a privilege. So thank you, church family. Way to get out and put into practice the things that we preached last week. So, well, it's not done because we have our so what's for this week too. All right? So we can bring those up. I just put down, again, if you weren't here last week, this thing is still hanging from my truck mirror. Not this one, obviously. To remind me to be a gift giver. To give. And so this week, if you didn't get one of these last week, there's a basket of ones back there. You can take one just as a reminder. I'm a visual person, and things like this remind me. And so put it someplace prominent where you'll see it a lot, not in your pocket because it'll get squished and it's not very, it won't look much like much of a gift after that. But somewhere where you'll remember it to say, I just need to be a giver because God so loved the world that he gave, right? Okay, so that's number one. Let's keep on being givers. You know, we want to be givers. Our culture wants us to be takers, doesn't it? Everything is about us. Everything is for us. Everything, you know, points to us. What does Jesus say? It's so much better to give than to receive. Now, when somebody gives you a gift, don't push it off. But let's be givers, right? Let's be known that we are people who would give. All right? Secondly, again, pray and ask God for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with someone. I always say out loud with words, you know? We want to be able to do that. You know, Romans says, how can they hear unless somebody said, how can they know the gospel unless somebody brings them? How lovely are the feet who bring good news. And so we want to have pretty feet, right? We want to have feet of those who bring good news to people. And so, like I said, the gospel, that's why I was telling that guy downtown, you know, you've got the good news, but you bring it in a very bad way. You know, let's be loving to people. Let's bring you in. So let's pray. When, you know, last week I prayed and God gave me opportunity. And one of the things I do, on the back of your sheet, again, has a bunch of ideas of things you can do. And one of the things that I love it is that just as we go out for and we eat out and we have restaurants, we just say, hey, we're going to pray for our food. Does anyone give thanks? Pray for you for. And you would be amazed at the way people will open up. And sometimes they don't. That's okay. You can still pray for them. But you'll have opportunity there as well. And then I want to encourage you to invite. Next Sunday is our Christmas Eve service. And some people will go to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter. So next week's the one, okay? And so you know what? You have neighbors and friends that might come. And I'd encourage you, invite them to come next week. Invite at least three people next week to come, be a part of our Christmas Eve service. Next, the first week was on the present. This week was on the purpose. Next week is on the prophecy. We will take you through the prophecies about Jesus, the coming of Jesus foretold, the coming of Jesus fulfilled, and then we're going to remember Jesus. We're going to have a candle lighting service, and I'll read from John 1. So that's what's going to happen next week. Also, I need about 8 people who would be willing to be readers for passages. So after this service, if you'd be willing to be a reader for a passage next Sunday morning, what that involves is I'll give you the passage so you can read it ahead of time, be ready to be able to read through it fluently. And what you need to do is probably be here 10, 15 minutes early so I can just kind of run you through the logistics, okay? But we would like our church family involved in that. So anyway, is that pretty clear? All right. And those 8 people will also, well, unless you're afraid of fire, help me with candle lighting, you know. I have a pyro gene. I just want to burn things, you know. You know, we used to go camping all the time, and I used to be a leader, and they'd say, don't let the kids play in the fire. And I'm like, but I want to play in the fire. You know, what's a little, you know, branding here and there, you know? It's okay. Anyway, that's why I'm not a leader at campouts anymore, so. All right, let's pray. I'll invite the worship team up. God, thank you for the privilege it is to just hear these testimonies, hear the way you're working through your people to reach the world. That's how it has to be done. We'll never just reach them just in addition. We have to multiply. So God, give us the opportunity this week to just have a conversation with someone about you, to be a giver. Lord, show us the places where we need to help out and give. In Jesus' name, amen.